Lord immediately put on my heart that we should go. And so I'm very thankful to come, and I'm also thankful for all of the prayers that the brothers and sisters have lifted before the Lord for the sake of our time. So let's please turn to the book of Hebrews. And we're going to start in chapter 10, verse 19. The book of Hebrews, chapter 10, verse 19, and we'll read through the middle of verse 22. Hebrews, chapter 10, verse 19. Since therefore, brethren, we have confidence to enter the holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way which he inaugurated for us through the veil, that is, his flesh. And since we have a great high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a sincere heart and full assurance of faith. I'm going to read again verse 19. Since therefore, brethren, we have confidence to enter the holy place by the blood of Jesus, and verse 22, let us draw near with a sincere heart and full assurance of faith. Hebrews chapter 6. Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19. Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19. This hope we have as an anchor of the soul, a hope both sure and steadfast, and one which enters within the veil, where Jesus has entered as a forerunner for us, having become a high priest forever, according to the order of Melchizedek. Please again, verse 19. This hope we have as an anchor of the soul, a hope both sure and steadfast, and one which enters within the veil. Let's bow for another word of prayer. My Lord, I am so thankful to you that we have the chance to gather together in your presence. Lord, we are thankful because we know that you are here with us. Lord, we also know how much you desire to speak to every one of us. Lord, we are thankful to you, Lord, you are the God who encourages us and you lift us up. We thank you, Lord, that in times of difficulty, you lift our head and remind us that you are still the sovereign God. And Lord, we pray these days as we are considering your word together, Lord, that there would be no distractions. Lord, you would take away the things of the flesh. And Lord, you would just give us a pure word that is only from you. Because, Lord, we are longing to hear from you. So, Lord, be glorified these days in our presence. Thank you, Lord, for the life that you shed for us, that we could be brothers and sisters in the house of God. And Lord, we lift your name up. And Lord, we give you the highest place and the seat of honor in our midst. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So, brothers and sisters, I have a prop to start the conference with here. I learned that when you are in Canada, you have to speak Canadian language. And so this is a hockey puck. Has anyone seen one of these before? Now, I'm just a Yankee. I've never seen one of these in my life. But when I went to Kelvin's house yesterday night, I saw one for the first time. I didn't realize how heavy they were or how fast they can move and hit you. And it's dangerous, you know. But if you look at these, if you had to estimate how thick this was, again, this is my Americanism coming out, 2 inches or 3.2 centimeters. I don't know what the translation is. How much is it, Dave? This is 5 centimeters? Oh, so it's 5 centimeters for two of them. Is that about 2 inches? 3 inches? Two-ish. Okay. 2 inches. It doesn't seem like very much. All right, 2 inches. You could take one step, and it'd be more than 2 inches. If I walked one step towards that big speaker, it'd be more than 2 inches. But I tell you, brothers and sisters, the Lord spent thousands of years, dealing with two hockey pucks, 2 inches. Thousands of years, the God who could span and move mountains, He spent so long concerned about 2 inches. Now 2 inches to us is nothing. It's less than my hand. It's less than 1 step. Why, brothers and sisters, did the Lord for so long struggle for 2 inches? Now the reason, brothers and sisters, is we are told that there was a tabernacle. And the tabernacle was made up of 3 rooms. The room that was farthest on the inside was called the Holy of Holies. And it was an awesome room. It was the smallest of the 3 rooms. But in that farthest room inside of the tabernacle, there rested a golden box. And it wasn't a very big box. But the golden box had on top of it a cover. And the cover was held a mercy seat. It was a little squarish area, all covered with gold. And on both sides of this gold mercy seat, there were 2 cherubim made out of hammered gold. They were sort of like people with wings. And, you know, sometimes they make Valentine's Day cards out of these things, these little guys flying. But no, these were 2 cherubim, 2 wings, and a mercy seat. And why was this box so precious? It was because of all the places on the earth at the time, the presence of God rested right there. And that box sat on this inner room that was called the Holy of Holies. And that room only had 1 door. It didn't even have a door. It was just an opening. And the only thing that blocked it from the outside world was a piece of cloth that was about 2 inches thick. And it hung from 5 wooden pillars. Now, I have a shower at home, and there's a cloth that blocks the water from going outside of my bathtub. And it's hung across by this little plastic thing with a spring at the end. And it's about 2 microcentimeters thick. And it's so thin. But this thing needed five wooden pillars to hold it up. Can you imagine how heavy this piece of cloth was? And it was 2 inches thick. But brothers and sisters, these 2 inches to a human being might as well have been 200 miles. We could not pass these 2 inches. No matter how good we were at following all of the rules, we could not pass these 2 inches. Now, what's the big deal, brothers and sisters? Who cares about 2 inches? The problem is, the Lord cared very, very much about these 2 inches. He cared very much then, and He cares very much now. And there's a reason, a deep, deep reason in His heart. And hopefully, brothers and sisters, by the end of this weekend, the Lord will show us what was in His heart that caused Him to plan this huge, elaborate plan to overcome 2 hockey pucks. It was so elaborate and so well thought out and so perfect. Sometimes we think that His plan was just by accident, or there were tens of different ways that He could overcome 2 inches. But the Lord had a perfect plan, and He set it in motion because He cared very much. Why? This cloth could only be passed by 1 person per year, the high priest. And the high priest had to offer all of these sacrifices just to pay for all of his sins from that past year, so he could walk into this room to offer on behalf of the people. So all of these firstborn lambs were offered up so he could go in. And you know, his clothing was so elaborate, but at the bottom there was one thing that was very useful to the other priests. There was a pomegranate and a bell. And a pomegranate and a bell all the way around the hem of his clothes. So they'd be listening. And the high priest, the Levite, that you could go in, you're ding, 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 ding. Okay, and it's going on. And all of a sudden, if they heard ding, 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 nothing, clunk. You know, this ringing let them know that the high priest was still living. Now, this is kind of a funny thing. And I don't mean to make light of it. But brothers and sisters, standing in the presence of God as a sinner is a fearsome, worrisome thing. We might think it's just like, oh, who cares? You know, when he saved us, he just swept all of our sins under the heavenly carpet. And it was just covered. Brothers and sisters, it's not the case. To stand in the presence of God with your sins intact, you would fall dead. If you remember when the ark was being transported from this place and David was transporting it back to Jerusalem, it was on a cart. And he was going along on the cart, and the cart hit a bump and the ark started to sway. And there was a really nice guy in the cart. We thought, I don't want it to fall down. So he reached his hand out to stop it from falling. And when he touched it, what happened? He died. Now we would think in our human mind, how is that fair? The guy was just trying to do something nice. But brothers and sisters, what it tells us is whether our flesh is bad or whether our flesh is good, in neither case can we stand before the perfect, sinless God and be justified. No matter how good we think we are, no matter how good our intentions, we cannot stand in the presence of the living, perfect God and not die. Brothers and sisters, every one of us, without our sins paid for, and we stood in His presence, we would die, and we would die fast. Brothers and sisters, here was the problem. These 2 inches, it signified the barrier between God's presence and the outside. And in His heart, from the very, very beginning, He has always wanted for you and me to be near to Him. But how could it possibly be? Because if any of us were to stand in His presence as we are, we would be struck down. Every one of us. So the Lord had to think of something so that He could work out this great, great desire in His heart. How do we know that this is true, brothers and sisters? Let's look at a couple of verses. Let's first turn to the book of John, chapter 12. Now, this is the story, brothers and sisters, of the last couple days of our Lord Jesus' life. John chapter 12, verse 26. It was as if He kept all of the great secrets of His heart to the very end, and because He knew time was running out, He was spilling it out to everyone and anyone who would listen. So we're going to start in chapter 12, and we're going to start in verse 25. Chapter 12, verse 25. He who loves his life loses it, and he who hates his life in this world shall keep it to life eternal. Pay attention, brothers and sisters. If anyone serves me, let him follow me. And where I am, there shall my servant also be. Just pay attention to that last part that I read. Where I am, there shall my servant also be. That's number one. Let's turn forward two chapters to John chapter 14, verse 1. The Lord just told His disciples that He would be leaving. And the Lord comforts them. Let not your heart be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many dwelling places. If it were not so, I would have told you. For I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself. Pay attention, brothers and sisters. That where I am, there you may be also. That where I am, there you may be also. 3 more chapters ahead. John chapter 17. This is really near the end. The Lord is offering up His last prayer. John chapter 17,
And we're going to start with verse 22. John chapter 17, verse 22. And the glory which thou hast given me, I have given to them, that they may be one, just as we are one. I in them, and thou in me, that they may be perfected in unity, and that the world may know that thou didst love me, and didst love them, even as thou didst love me. Father, I desire that they also, whom thou hast given me, be with me where I am. Third time, he says the same thing three times in the course of three chapters over several days. Finally, brothers and sisters, we're going to turn way back to the very beginning of his life. Matthew chapter 1. Matthew chapter 1, the prophecy about our Lord, verse 23. Behold, the virgin shall be with child, and shall bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which translated means God with us. So, brothers and sisters, in these verses, the Lord is revealing the secret of his heart, that from the very, very beginning, the secret in his heart was that they might be with me where I am. It wasn't simply that God wanted a bunch of people that followed his rules or thought the way he thinks or, you know, wore the right clothes or whatever. He wasn't after people who acted the right way. His intention from the very beginning was that they might be with me where I am. And what separated him from reaching what he desired so very much were these 2 inches. And so, where did this veil come from, brothers and sisters? Why was it there? We have to go to the very beginning to figure out where this veil came from. You see, the Lord had it in his heart to create man. And so in the book of Genesis, you remember, brothers and sisters, he breathed life into Adam and Eve. And do you know what the Lord used to enjoy doing with them? He used to enjoy taking walks with them. They would walk together in the garden. And so the Lord had first created Adam, and then from Adam's side created Eve, and they lived and walked in God's presence. And you remember one day, brothers and sisters, the serpent came. And the serpent appealed to Eve and said, look at this fruit, and it looks good. And you were told that you couldn't eat this because you would die. But I tell you, that is not the case. And so Eve took of this fruit, and she ate it. And then here we see what happened. She said, it was from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And so all of a sudden, her eyes were opened, knowing right and wrong. And it was the first step of Satan's plan, separation. Because in God's heart, if God's heart was always that they might be with me where I am, Satan's heart was always the opposite, that they won't be with you where you are. You'd be totally separate. And so the first step that was in his heart was, you guys must know that you don't need him. So their eyes were opened. And so the next day when the Lord came to take a walk with them, where are you? They knew that they were naked. And they had put together, you know, some hiding place to hide from the Lord because they were naked. And for the first time, God was separated from his creation. And brothers and sisters, from that day on, the Lord began to work to bring us back. In Noah, the Lord said, let's start all over. And you remember, he saved a small group in the ark. And then from Noah, after Noah came generations where the Lord raised up different people who continued to reject the Lord and stay away until Abraham. And then Abraham had Isaac, and Isaac had Jacob. And in Jacob, the Lord, they ended up going to Egypt, and the Lord preserved them and kept them together. And then Moses came and called them back. And when they were traveling out of Egypt, they stopped at Mount Sinai. And on Mount Sinai, the Lord, it was a pretty awesome sight. You know, Mount Sinai, Moses went up on the mountain, and the Lord gave him something called the pattern, how to build this tabernacle. Because in his heart, he had continued to want that the people would be close to him. And in the description of the tabernacle, he described the ark, he described the Holy of Holies, and he described this veil and the five pillars of acacia wood. And they erected the tabernacle. And then they came, and when people wanted to enter into the Lord's presence, they would walk up, and they would come up to this 2-inch thick wall made out of cloth, and they couldn't get in. Now, brothers and sisters, the Lord was making an effort to have his presence among his people, and they desired it. But no matter how good a man was, no matter how good you and I, you could come up to this wall and you would just stare at it, because nothing you or I could do could ever qualify us to pass through. We were stuck. And so the enemy had his way. 2 inches separated all of us from the presence of God. Now, brothers and sisters, this earthly example is actually true in the heavens, because our God was the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And their desire for all time had been that there might be a bride, there would be a companionship, that there would be many of us with them in fellowship. But what we see of true of this veil on earth was true also in heaven. None of us could be in their presence. And it was just like the Holy of Holies. God and no one else. But brothers and sisters, we thank our Lord, because in his heart it was so important to him that he could not let this 2-inch wall of cloth block him from what he desired. So what the enemy probably didn't realize was this Holy of Holies, there was just one way in, or so he thought. But brothers and sisters, in the Holy of Holies in heaven, there was actually another way. There was a way out. Now, we couldn't go in through that way, but someone could leave. And I don't know if the enemy knew what was afoot. But the fact of the matter was, every year when one person could enter in, there had to be the perfect sacrifice so that one person could enter in. Now, according to our Lord's plan, if all of us entered in, even in this room, we would have to slaughter a lot of animals. Lots of sacrifices. And then think about all of the people for all time, every day of the year, for their entire lives. I mean, the earth isn't filled with enough sacrifices to sacrifice for all of us. And we would have to keep doing it all the time, all the time. So in the wisdom and counsel of God, they knew only the perfect sacrifice will get us what we want. And what is it that we want? Brothers and sisters, what was in his heart was they all would be with us and all the time. And it didn't have to be that every day they'd have to go out and find another sheep. We want them with us all the time. This was a secret in his heart. In the deepest part of his heart, it's what drove him, our wonderful Savior, that there must be a way that all of my beloved could be with me. And it's not enough one day a year, one person, all these sacrifices. I want them with me all the time. And so in the perfect counsel of God, they knew there was only one offering. And so, brothers and sisters, if we follow the story, after Moses, they built the tabernacle. And after Moses came the judges. And after judges, the people cried out for a king. So the Lord gave them Saul. And then Saul was a man after his own heart. And then the Lord raised up David, because David had a heart after God. And David built a permanent temple where they could put the ark. And David wanted the ark to come back. So David had the heart, but we see even with that heart, it couldn't satisfy what God wanted. And after David, there were multiple kings and multiple prophets. And we get to Malachi. And after Malachi, there were 400 years of quiet. The Lord didn't say a word to anyone Now, can you imagine 400 years, brothers and sisters? How often can you tell your kids, remember this, remember this? And your kids to tell your grandkids, remember this. And then your grandkids to tell your great-grandkids, remember this. How many times, generations can it go on that they remember the faithfulness of God? 400 years passed by, totally quiet, in the darkest spiritual night. There was a star that shone over a little area on the earth where a baby was born in a manger. He was put in this little feeding trough. His parents were just so young. They were young, but they loved God. In some strange, real way, they loved God. You see, what had happened was the Lord had put into movement His plan. He wasn't satisfied with that one person once a year. The plan was afoot. And a little baby was born. Because there was a way in this Holy of Holies, there was an exiting. And the Son of God left the highest place of honor, the highest place of glory, and He left. And He was born, and they put Him. They didn't even have the money to put Him in a hotel at the inn. So they took the baby and they laid the baby in a feeding trough. And the baby grew up. Along the way, we know it, as a child, at some point he lost his earthly father. And he went through great suffering. Great suffering. And then at the age of 30, he came out to serve his heavenly Father. He was such a wonderful person. You know, the people who met him, I always wonder, one of these days we're going to have to ask them, what was your impression when you saw him? He was the type of person who would walk down the street and no one felt like he was too good for them. They would come to him in their great need, in their great suffering, and our Lord would pay attention to them. He would reach out to them. Others, even the disciples said, you know, what do you go away? This is Jesus. Do you think your children could come up to Jesus just like that? And our Lord's, let them come to me. And then on the highest holiday, during Passover, when he should be glorified and honored, our Lord went to the dirtiest parts of Jerusalem to find a guy who had been injured for 38 years. This guy who couldn't even clean himself after going to the bathroom. And our Lord spent time in the filthiest places for all the people who needed him. And he grew up in this way, and he lived this way, where everyone around him was astounded by his kindness. And he performed so many miracles, and people flocked to see him. He took some bread and some fish and fed so many people, thousands of people, and they were so, so very impressed. But brothers and sisters, people still didn't know what his plan was. His plan was perfect. And then, when he was 33 years old, the Bible tells us he set his face for Jerusalem. People did not know what was going on. And as he entered into the city, everyone thought, this is the one we were waiting for. We have been waiting for him so long, we're sick of being oppressed by the Roman Empire. He is going to come in. I saw him raise Lazarus from the dead. And I saw him feed 5,000. And I saw him do this. And I saw him turn water into wine. And I saw all these things. Surely, if a man can do that, he can topple this oppressive government. And so they were so thrilled. Hosanna! Hosanna in the highest. And they took palm branches out and laid them down because they felt that their Messiah was coming. And they were so excited. And brothers and sisters, he entered in and he sat down in a room at a small table and had one last meal with his disciples. And over those days, he told them so many times, my heart has always been that you might be with me where I am. He said something so gentle to them. He said, you are those who have stood by me in my sufferings, in my trials. And brothers and sisters, he was so close to them. And they still didn't know what was going to happen. And then on that terrible day, he was betrayed. And the guards came, and they were still so in awe of him. But he allowed them to lead him away like a lamb led to slaughter. And they threw accusations at him which were untrue. And they scourged him. And he went through so much physical suffering. But the entire time, in his heart, there was an uplifting. Many opportunities to say, forget it. Forget it. Let's try a different plan. But brothers and sisters, in his heart from the very, very beginning, he knew we are almost there. Almost there. And he walked up this way to a small hill called Calvary. And when he got to Calvary, he was crucified. And everyone thought, was this the way it was supposed to happen? Wasn't he supposed to be the powerful Messiah who is going to free us from Roman captivity? Wasn't he the one who's supposed to get rid of the Roman governors? Look at him. What a failure. What a waste. And brothers and sisters, there were those who earlier had glorified him as such a great person who now cursed him, spat at him. They said, prophesy, who just struck you? Because, brothers and sisters, no one saw the real battle at hand. The real battle at hand had to do with 2 inches. And at the very end, when all of our sins that you and I have committed every day of my life, all the sins for my children, of our family members, all time, they were all heaped on our Lord. His Heavenly Father turned his head away and he crushed him. Because at that moment, he had become the vilest of sin. Think about the vilest of sin. Brothers and sisters, we think a white lie isn't so bad. But think of the worst. The murderers. The pedophiles. Think of the worst, brothers and sisters. And they were all heaped on him. And all of the punishment of heaven fell on him. The Bible tells us at that moment that he cried out with a loud voice, my God, why have you forsaken me? We all know, because I know what I have done. He had never sinned before. It was totally foreign to him. To me, I know what I have done. And everything I have done fell on him. And he was crushed with the full wrath and vengeance of God. He was crushed. And he cried out, finally, it is finished. And then what happened, brothers and sisters? The veil was torn in two from top to bottom. It was opened. Brothers and sisters, do you see this? Such a grand plan. So complex. It had to go this way because this 2 inches separated our God from the whole intention of his heart. He had to do it this way. At the very end, the veil was torn, top to bottom, and it no longer exists, and the way has been opened. The question, brothers and sisters, to ask is, now that it is opened, do we enter in? Can we draw near and enter in? Because our enemy, brothers and sisters, is so wise. I don't even know if he was expecting it. You know, when that veil was torn, he thought that veil was impenetrable. All of their sins, this was not supposed to happen. That veil was supposed to forever be like a force field that you could not penetrate. How did this happen? So the enemy has changed his focus and changed his strategy. His intention now is for us to say, why should we draw near? Why should we enter in? Even though that veil is open, why should you and I draw near? Why should we enter in? Well, brothers and sisters, what we have just shared is a revealing. This is the most precious thing in our Lord's heart, that we might live in his presence. We might make our home there, our address, and stay there. This is his intention It was not never His intention that we would just follow all the rules and know all of the doctrines and know and memorize our Bible and live our good Christian lifestyle. He wasn't interested in that. He is interested in that we would enter in and draw near to His presence. And so, brothers and sisters, this is the first night of the conference. We start with this introduction. In the next couple of days, we will consider, what does it mean to draw near? And what does it mean to enter in? And we will also see, by the Lord's grace, how much He helps us to draw near. And what exactly it means. And how little it has to do with outward things. And how very, very much it has to do with our personal, wonderful God who loved us until the end. And by this perfect plan, it was finished. And the veil was torn in two from top to bottom. The 2 inches, the 2 hockey pucks, they exist no more. It's been torn open and no one can shut it. Praise the Lord. Let's bow for a word of prayer. Our Lord, we are so thankful to You. Because from the very beginning You had it in Your heart that You desired for those whom You loved to be near to You. Lord, we thank You because, Lord, we know that we are sinners and we have chosen on our own to be separated from You. And Lord, we have chosen on our own simply to accept to be saved, but to live far away from You. But Lord, we pray as we consider these coming days, how much You have done to draw us near to You. Lord, we pray that we might be willing. And Lord, that You might change your heart so we would choose to live in Your presence rather to enjoy the passing pleasure of sin, that we would love to be near to You. But Lord, You know our weakness and our failings. Lord, we thank You. Lord, You never give up. And we put all of our hope in that wonderful love that You have for us. Most of all, Lord, we pray that You would be lifted up and glorified. Because Lord, there is no one who is worthy. And there is no one who could have done what was done except for You. Thank You, Lord. Be praised, be honored. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.